Welcome to today's session on integrating Dynamics LAV with Office 365. I'd like to present the speakers, first of all, Stefan Belsler and myself, Mike Borch-Cardona. We are both engineers on the NAV team, and we have worked really hard to get to a point where we can demo these scenarios today. So we're very excited to be here. And basically, you know, you can probably tell by our unshaven beards that we were up all night yesterday trying to put the finishing touches on this thing.
So we're really excited to get all of you here and show you this these things that we've done in this release and how you can harness the power and simplicity of Dynamics NAV together with Office in the cloud. In fact, Dynamics NAV R2, or 2012 R2, 2013 R2, sorry, is the first release that allows you to bring NAV into Office 365.
Yeah, so since it's still early morning and you're still settling in after your breakfast, let's get active a little bit. So let's see a show of hands. How many of you have been using, for the last 6 months, actively using Office 365? All right, there's a few hands coming up there. That's good. Let's make this a bit more active. So all those of you who have been trying to integrate NAV with Office 365 over the last 6 months or the last year, do like a pirate and say "Arr." I heard one "Arr." That's good. So great to hear that you've already been trying this, but remember, piracy is a crime. Speaking of crime, my bicycle got stolen this week. I'm sure this has happened to a couple of you. And you probably wondered, you know, where do bicycles go when they get stolen or when they get lost or misplaced? They probably end up here at the Kronos Bike Shop, where our friends Stan and Deborah run a small business buying and selling bikes. And you know, joking apart, small businesses like this, which, you know, they need to be on the go, they travel all around the country buying and selling and dealing with their business, they need constant access to their ERP data. They need access to their documents, their team site, their shared pictures, their OneNote. And what better way to do this than by offering Dynamics NAV together with Office 365? So, yes. So, you know, what if you could create a portal on Office 365 which gave you access to NAV, where in one click you can basically jump from SharePoint or your Outlook emails directly to Dynamics Nav? Well, that's exactly what we want to talk to you about a little bit today. If you've used Office 365, you've noticed how you can very seamlessly click on your email, on Outlook, and then you can click on SharePoint, and you don't need to sign in again. You don't need to enter your credentials one more time, just because you're switching between these two different services. So wouldn't it be great if we could do exactly the same thing with NAV, where if a user logs into Office 365 once, then they are also automatically granted access to Dynamics NAV. So, you know, some people call this black magic, but we call this in the biz, we call it single sign-on with Azure Active Directory. And that's the first topic we're going to talk about today, and we're going to get a bit hands-on as well. So why Azure AD? Well, one of the challenges in moving to the cloud is identity management. How do you authenticate and authorize users across applications? How do you protect your users' data in the cloud? How do you share it with the right people and make sure it is still safe? And this is exactly where Azure AD comes in. So think of Azure Active Directory as Active Directory in the cloud, right? And basically, it is one of the many services that is part of the Azure package. And we can use this to connect the dots between Office in the cloud and Dynamics NAV. Now, for you to create a single sign-on experience where you don't need to continually log in again when you switch between these two worlds, You don't need to have an AV in the cloud. You can, but you don't need to. And Azure AD will help solve that for us by creating that connection. So if you do want to set up a system where you have single sign-on, there are three things you need to do, and we're going to go through them. Three simple steps. So the first thing is you need to configure Azure Active Directory. The second thing you need to do is configure your NAV server. And finally, you also need to configure your NAV web server. Why? Well, because this is all powered through the NAV web client. So it essentially is the web client you're going to be running when you switch from, say, your SharePoint to Dynamics NAV. And we're going to, you know, deep dive into these a little bit now. So the very first thing you need to do is get an Azure subscription. So as you can see on the screen, if you go to manage.windowsazure.com, you're going to be presented with something which looks like this. So you'll need to sign in with your organizational account. And what does that mean? That is actually the Office 365 account credentials that you have been given when you created your Office 365 subscription. So if you log in with that, it's going to say, hey, you don't have an Azure subscription. Do you want to sign up for an Azure subscription? And you can actually sign up for a free trial, which will give you access to a lot of the Azure services, one of which is Azure Active Directory. So once you go through a long, lengthy process of wizards and signing up and putting in lots of information, you'll get to the portal where if you click on Active Directory, it will show you that, hey, there is already a directory which is active here. Well, why? Where did that come from? So it automatically synchronizes with Office 365, so it knows that the set of users you've created are visible over here, and you can basically manage them through this whole process. And in fact, if you look at the users that are created, these are the same three users that we have in this Office 365 subscription. So great, so now the users are inside or manageable through the Azure Active Directory. And what we need to do is we need to configure this to say, hey, we're going to be creating the single sign-on experience. So you need to create what is called an application in Azure AD. And you do this using this wizard. You'll need to give it a name.
Sorry.
Yep. Next slide, Stefan. Thank you. So when you create this application, you'll give it a name, and you also enter a URL for your application, and you also need to enter an app ID. And these are basically the URLs to your Dynamics NAV web client, right? And you'll also need to select that this is single sign-on. So by going through this process, you've basically indicated that, hey, we are now going to be using this for single sign-on, and that is one of the URLs we're going to be using for this process. So once you've been through that, if you click on Configure, you'll see this screen where you're presented with two bits of information which are going to be very useful for us to now configure NAV. So you take note of these two URLs because you are going to use them later. We're going to pop these into NAV's configuration, and that's how it's going to connect the dots and get Azure AD, Office 365, and NAV working together. So once you've got that set up, and that's all you need to do in Azure AD, really, in the beginning, we can look a little bit about what you need to do in the NAV server and the NAV web client configuration. So we'll jump to this computer right here. Great. All right, so actually, before we get into the management console, so you will need to create a user in NAV, of course, and have a user in Office 365. And you need to map the two together. So how do you do that? Well, there's a field on the user card. Let's jump straight to NAV here. Okay, so now I'm accessing the NAV web client. Pretty slow on this network, but that's okay. So I'll talk through this in the meantime. So basically, you connect your Office 365 user account to your NAV user account using an email address. And that's the email address, which is your same login for your Office 365 user. And by connecting the two, basically what happens is that when you sign in with that Office 365 account, NAV will know that it maps to a specific user, and it will give you the same usual experience that you get as if you were normally logged in with that user. We'll wait for that to load. In the meantime, you will also need to change your nav server configuration. So here I've got two instances running. I'm going to pick the first one. Actually, I'll pick the second one. Very slow today. Still morning. All right. So if I edit the configuration here, you notice that credential type is set to Windows. And this is the default one which NAV is set up with when you install it. So we need to change this to either nav user password or access control service. So I'll set it to that. So now we've indicated that there's a whole different authentication type we're going to use for this nav server instance. We also need to change one more setting, and that's right here. So there's this field called the Federation metadata location, and that is going to help point NAV to where does NAV need to go to perform this authentication. So we're going to use one of the URIs that we saw before in the Azure portal, and that's this one here. So I'll just copy paste that in here. Yes. All right, and that's really all you need to do to configure the nav server instance for single sign-on. In the meantime, I see this one loaded up. Great, so I'll just show you very quickly where we can set the user up. All right, so this is the user card. Let's bring that to full screen. And if you scroll further down, there's an Office 365 authentication field. So if you fill that in with the user identity on Office 365, that's where it will map the two together. And of course, you'll need to do this for every single user that you want to allow to have single sign-on through Office 365. Right, that's all you need to do for the nav server for single sign-on. Just a few things to watch out for. So don't forget that if you're setting the credentials type for this server instance, what you're effectively saying is now this does no longer accept Windows authentication, right? So users will not be able to log in with their usual Windows login on that server instance. Of course, you can create additional server instances with different authentication types, and that will allow users to authenticate in different ways. Another thing is that for security reasons, you'll need to add certificates here as well, so you'll need to set that up for the server. There is documentation online available on how to do that. And finally, you will need to do this hitting these two fields here, you will need to change them for every single server instance which you're going to make part of this Office 365 and NAV deployment. All right, so now that we've configured the NAV server, we also need to configure the NAV web server, web client server. So for that, I'm going to launch IaaS Manager. And there are actually two files we need to edit here. So I'm going to drill down to our site. And I'm going to start with the configuration for the virtual directory here. There's a web.config file. We're going to open that in Notepad. And there's two things I've already added here, which I want to show you. You'll need to change these two keys. So the first one is the client services credential type key. So similar to what we did for the nav server, we need to do the same thing here for the web client. So we basically need to indicate use access control service. And we also have the access control service URI, which is again built up out of the data we got from the Azure portal based on those two URIs we got there. And it's a URL of this format here. And there's, as you can see, there's some comments there which will help you actually construct this URL, where you essentially need to insert the ID of your Azure tenant, which is created for your Office 365 subscription. And you also need to set the URL from the app ID, which is again something you get from the Azure portal. So two keys in this file that you'll need to change. And then if we go to the second web configuration file here, we open that up in Notepad 2. There's also two things we need to change here. So one of them is the authentication mode. By default, this will be set to Windows. We need to change this to Forms Authentication, as you can see here. This is actually, by default, this will be commented out in this file, so you just need to uncomment that and remove the line which says Windows Authentication. And then there's one last thing we need to change, which is this key here. I don't know if that's visible. So basically, the cross-frame options, that's something we should remove. Now, this is actually not strictly necessary for single sign-on. But as we'll see later on, once we start looking at the SharePoint app, this is actually something which improves the experience there. So once we're in the web config, we'll go and remove this as well. Bang. So two changes there. All right. And then you just need to restart your IIS website. You need to restart your nav server instance, and you're good to go. You've got a single sign-on experience. So let's see what that looks like here. So I previously logged into this web client, and I was prompted for credentials, and that's actually the Office 365 credentials. And in fact, if I just switch immediately over to my Office 365 site, it should not prompt me for credentials again, because I signed in with those Office 365 credentials to get into NAV, and now it knows that I'm the same user and it's able to sign me into Office 365. So here I am in the SharePoint site, and I can actually sign out of this. Let's do that. So if I sign out of here now, so I'm signed out, and we'll sign in again. Okay, so now I'm gonna go to the Office 365 page again. All right, so we're off in Office 365 again now, using my Office 365 credentials. And since that's a bit slow to load today, all right, there it is. And now I can just click this link here on the side which says Dynamics NAV, and that's going to take me straight to the NAV web client, and it should not prompt me again for any credentials. So there you have it. That is a single sign-on experience where you log in once and you can easily switch between the two worlds. You notice that the look and feel of the Dynamics NAV web client is very much like the Office 365 portal. And this, you know, increases the sort of the seamlessness between the change between the two worlds. All right. So that was how you can easily set up single sign-on between Dynamics NAV and Office 365. And Just to recap what we did, so you need to get an Azure subscription, and you need to configure that in a couple of easy steps. You need to configure your NAV server and your NAV web server by changing a couple of configuration keys there. And you need to make sure your users are mapped between Office 365 and Dynamics NAV. And that's pretty much it. So go ahead and try this at home. There are guides available online. You can get, you know, your Office 365 subscription and your Azure subscription as well. You can get free trials there, so you can go ahead and try this in your own time. We're actually looking at making this experience even simpler. So in the near future, we'll be releasing an update to the best practices analyzer tool for Dynamics NAV, and that will actually help test your setup and tell you whether you've actually set things up correctly or not, because there are a couple of different places where we need to do that. All right, great. So when we signed into Office 365 and it looked something like this, you may have noticed that there was very nav-specific data on the page. Now, where does that come from? What are these parts of these frames that we have over here? You notice the customer list, and we have a chart over there coming from NAV. We have sales invoices. It's a bit of everything. So how do we expose nav-specific data within SharePoint? How do we get users to interact with NAV without ever leaving Office 365? Or without ever knowing that they are interacting with NAV. So that's a challenge. And this is where the concept of SharePoint apps comes in. So let's talk a little bit about that. So if you're not familiar with SharePoint apps, think of them as no different from the apps you install on your phone. It's something you install, it's self-contained, it's simple, and it's accessible everywhere. The Office Store on office.com has a bunch of apps which are available for you to use on SharePoint. These are SharePoint apps. And these are public apps, which means everybody can access them. On the other hand, SharePoint introduces a concept of organizational apps, which means you can build an app which only resides within your Office 365 subscription. So only in one Office 365 subscription. And by doing that, we can actually build an app which gives us control over what NAV data we want to display in Office 365. And we can do that to deliver that experience where we embed nav pages in SharePoint. So let's create an app. So there's four ways to do this. Four steps to do this. So first you need to register the app in SharePoint, effectively telling SharePoint, hey, we're going to build an app and you're going to be hosting it. Next, we need to create the app in Visual Studio. Very simple, actually, it's mostly just configuring one or two XML files. We need to add the app to the app catalog on Office 365. That makes it available for the entire Office 365 subscription. And finally, we need to find the specific pages and say, hey, on this page, this is what I'm going to display from this app. So it's those four basic steps that we'll go through. Now, if you want to try this, there's a few prerequisites you will need. First of all, you will need Visual Studio together with the Office Developer Tools, which will basically give you C# projects in Visual Studio to create a SharePoint app. You will, of course, need the Office 365 subscription, which has an app catalog available, such as the small business subscription. And you'll definitely need to have single sign-on configured, because if you don't, what it means is every single one of those parts on the SharePoint page is going to prompt you for a username and password, and you really do not want that. So definitely go through the single sign-on setup first. You will need that. Yes, so let's look at the steps that we need to do to get this app working. All right. So, first thing, let's notify SharePoint that we're going to be creating this app. And there's actually a secret site that you have to access where you will register your new app. And if you take this URL and you add... Yes, that's the one, great. So there's a secret site, and if you enter that URL, basically you'll get to this place where in SharePoint, in Office 365, you can set up a client ID and a client secret, which it will generate for you. And you set a title here for your app. Let's call it My Nav App. You need to set an app domain, which is basically the is going to be the host name for your the host for your Nav web client. For example, that. And you'll need to set a redirect URI, which in this case is going to be, again, the full path to the NAV web client. And you create that. And the most important thing here is that you take note of the app ID, the client ID here. So it's this long string, and basically take a copy of that because you are going to need it later while you're creating your app. Okay, so that was the first step. Pretty easy, huh? Next step, we're going to go into Visual Studio. Let's bring that up here. And what we're going to do here is we're going to create a special project in Visual Studio, which will allow us to create this app. So if I go to File and New, okay, here we go. And as you can see, there's an app for SharePoint 2013. Let's go ahead and create that. And a wizard pops up and is going to ask you for some basic information, such as the name of the app, My Nav App. The second field we don't really need to pay attention to, at least for now. This is if you're using a developer site to debug your app. So we'll skip that in this demo. And you'll need to set this to provider hosted. So what does this actually mean? This means that the service being exposed by this app is Dynamics NAV, which we are hosting. So we're going to be hosting this, and that's what we're telling the app right here. All right. That'll only be a moment. And another moment. So when the project is created, it actually consists of two separate projects. The first project is the one we really need to go and configure. The second one is just a sample web site project that Visual Studio creates for you. We actually don't need that because we're replacing all of that with the Dynamics NAV web client. So I'm going to go ahead and remove the second project here. We don't need it. All right, it looks pretty simple now, right? You've got just one project with two files. The first file is just a logo. It's a logo which will show up on Office 365 to represent the app. The second one is this app manifest XML file, which is the one we actually need to configure. And we need to change two things over here in this file. So first of all, the client ID here in the bottom. And this is essentially the client ID we just saw when registering the app in SharePoint. So I'll bring that out of my magic notepad. And here we go. We'll pop that into here. That's the first thing. So now we've connected SharePoint with this app. They both know about each other. And the next thing we need to update is this URL over here, the start page URL. So for that, we're going to point it to the NAV web client, we're going to give it some parameters as well. So let's see how that works. So here's one I made earlier. I'm going to paste that in. And we'll take a look at this URL. So essentially, it starts with the path to the URL for the Nav Web Client. And then it's also mentioning the list.aspx page. So that's basically saying we want to show a list in Office 365. And then there's a few interesting parameters we need to add to that. So the first one is, of course, the page ID. So we're pointing to page 9305 here, which is the sales order list page. And there's also a parameter here at the end called isEmbedded. We need to set that to 1. And what we're saying is that when this URL is accessed, what we're trying to do is create a list, which is the sales order list, and make that visible, make it embedded on Office 365. Right, there's a few more parameters here which basically just reduce the amount of Chrome you have around your table, and it gives you a more clean sort of set of records which are being displayed in SharePoint. All right, so those two fields are all we need to set in this file. But there's one more thing we need to do, and that's we need to add a new item. And that's a client web part. So this now represents the actual app part, the nav page we're going to show. And we can create any amount of these. Basically, each one will be a URL to the list. Oh, actually, I got that wrong. So yeah, so just one moment. So here we'll need to add the URL to our web client again. Okay. And actually, this long URL is what you need to show in here. So I screwed that one up. Here we go. Yes. So now we've created one app part. We've defined one app part, and that points to a list page. It's a sales order page. And basically, the more of these files you create, you can put different URLs in there, and it's going to allow the app to expose different nav pages. So the long URL needs to go in here. Whilst here, you just need the shorter version of this. Alrighty. So that's all you need to do in this Visual Studio project. And once you've done that, you just need to create an app file, which you do by right-clicking here and going to Publish. And that's going to generate a .app file, which is the file you then need to upload onto SharePoint. Once that file is in Office 365, it means that, you know, the app is already deployed, it's ready to go. Any page can start using it. So let's look at that next step. Let's remove Visual Studio from there. Here's the app file which was generated. And now I need to go to my app catalog. So this is a site which is actually managed by Office 365. It's a special Office 365 site. And on this app catalog, you can basically upload your app that you've just created. So if you drag and drop this onto the page, it's going to look something like this. Basically, if it shows up on the page, it means your app has been registered successfully. And if the last field on the right says that it's yes, it was successful, then you know you're good to go. The app is exposed on SharePoint. So the very last thing we need to do is put this on a page. Let's see what it looks like. So I'm going to go to a subsite I created in Office 365, right here. And if I go to Site Contents, I can add an app. This is basically saying that everything below the site will have access to this app. And I want to add an app from my organization. So basically, again, this is local to this Office 365 subscription. I can add it from here, trust it. And I've essentially indicated now that that this site is able to add parts from this app onto any page. So it looks like it's adding the app right here. All right, should be done any moment now. Great, so it's done, and you can see there's the default logo there. I didn't change that. That also comes from the Visual Studio project for the app. And if I go back to my page and I go to Edit Page, I can now start adding parts, which I created earlier, onto this page. So this is the SharePoint Edit Page, and I can insert an app part. And there's a number of parts, including ones I created earlier. So let's pick the sales order list. And now I'm saying for this specific page, give me this part, which is the sales order list from NAB. Ooh, looks like something went wrong here. Oops. Right, so so eventually when this works, you'll be able to add a number of parts to a whole bunch of different pages, and they're all pulling data from NAV. And there's a few things to watch out for here in this process. So the first one is exactly this error. So do you remember we removed that cross-frame options tag from a web config file earlier? Well, that's actually meant to solve exactly this problem. So that will help you deal with security in Internet Explorer. Another error which you might encounter is that a modal dialog cannot be opened. Well, yes, that is a challenge because you cannot display a modal dialog from NAV inside one of these parts. So those are things you will need to work around as part of this process. And eventually, with a bit of tweaking in the UI and setting the size of the parts, you can get it to look something like this. Oh, now they're all dying. That could be a problem with the network as well. Yep, that's probably in there. Oh, they're all in there. Let's see if that works. Come on, you can do it, you can do it. Oh well, not its day. Yeah, there we go. Yes, so these are all individual parts created in exactly the same way using that app. So, just to wrap this up. Can we leave them for later maybe? Maybe you can take note of that and we can leave it for the Q&A section. Go ahead and try this at home. There are a couple of steps you need to go through here. Yes, it does involve Visual Studio. Yes, it does involve some tweaking on SharePoint. But as you can see, you can get any number of nav pages, lists and cards to display inside Office 365 that way. Where were we? Yep. All right, so with that, basically you've seen how you can configure single sign-on in a couple of steps and how you can create a SharePoint app, which gives you the ability to embed nav pages on SharePoint using a couple of steps. If we go back to the SharePoint page again, so here, this is again what we saw earlier. But you'll notice we have a documents section here. Now, this is not one of the nav parts, one of the nav pages that we're showing on the SharePoint page here. This is a standard SharePoint part, which is exposing the documents list. So Stefan will tell us more about that.
Yep. So documents is one of the big advantages of Office 365. If you have documents in the cloud, they're accessible anywhere and everywhere and anytime you want them. One of the advantages of Office 365 is also the fact that you can access these documents without the Office client installed on your box, because there's these web clients. So In NAV 2013, R2, we looked at some of the core Excel scenarios for this interacting with documents. And we've connected these scenarios with the document repository in Office 365. So just by configuring the connection to Office 365 from within NAV, not talking about single sign-on, not talking about app parts, but from in NAV, you can connect to Office 365. And doing so, all of these features that work with ad hoc Excel scenarios will work with Office 365. And this is because we in NAV 2013 R2 did a lot of work of removing the dependency to the Office client. So for the Excel buffer and the send to Excel scenarios, we removed the dependency of having a client installed on your local box and did all of the generation of the documents on the server using OpenXML. This allows us to have the server to send documents to the cloud without even having Excel involved. Yes. So let's see how that works.
All yours.
All yours, thank you. So I'm gonna go here. And the first thing I'm gonna do is go to our nav site here. And I'm gonna create a user because we don't wanna be Mike, we wanna be somebody else. So, for today's presentation, I will be Deborah. Hope you notice my long hair and eyelashes. So, let's create Deborah here. Come on. I'm gonna set her email, as Mike mentioned, perhaps. And just for the purpose of this, she's gonna be a super. So we should be okay now. Yes, we have Deborah. So the first thing I need to do to get this working is go to something we call the online document service. And there it is. Sorry, online document storage configuration, that's it. And here I need to set up the connection from within NAV to Office 365. So let's call this one 0365 and say this is our Emma. This is our Office 365 documents. I'm gonna tell it we are gonna use the SharePoint site that Mike showed earlier. There you go. And when we store documents here, we want to kind of identify them in a certain folder, so we're gonna put them in a folder called nav documents. For the first scenario here, we want to put all of our documents, all the documents we generate from NAV, inside one shared repository and one folder in that repository. So we're going to use the shared documents here, and this Office 365 subscription was originally created in Danish, so I'm going to write Dokumenter. And because we want it to be shared, we want to have one identity sending the documents to NAV, so we're going to use this. We're all done. I'm gonna set the password for this guy. Close your eyes. Ah. Here you go. Yes. Then let's see if we have connection from NAV to our document store. There we go. Dun, 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 dun. Hopefully you have a connection and we should be ready to go. Oops. So I wrote something wrong here. Yeah, of course the SharePoint site is not a login name, so that might help a bit. Let's try again. So the first time you do the test connection, it will actually see if the folder exists. If it doesn't, it will try and create that one. It does not create document repositories, so if you name something that doesn't exist, it will give you an error there. We are valid and ready to go. So let's see how that looks. I'm just gonna do, let's see here, and then let's sign in as Depper. Not so fast today.
Not so fast today. Didn't have its breakfast.
No. Come on. Oh. Shoot. Okay. Let's try again. Debra it is. Oh. Forgot to. Here we go. Need the company name, of course. So we're locked in here, and let's see the nav client here. Come on. Fair enough. So what we're going to do now is just going to send a simple list to Excel. And instead of seeing it in our local client, we want to see it online in Office 365. We want to see that this document has been created there. So we're just going to do open Excel. So this is new in 2013.02 because we moved the whole generation of the documents to the server. We are able to use the web client to do ad hoc analysis. Like this. So we should see now that the web client will generate the document, or actually the server will generate the document and upload it to Office 365 and show us the document in the Excel web viewer on Office 365. Yes. Ah, oh, shoot. Let's try again. There's a few hurdles you have to go through in the first run. So I'm going to send to Excel again. Come on. Much easier. We have an item list here in Excel web app, and the data is there, and everybody's happy. So let's go back to the document list here. And we can go do that by just going back to the parent here. And we see we have the documents in the documents repository as we defined. We also have it in the nav documents folder as we defined. We have two now because we have to do it twice. What we'll see here, which is interesting, is that the document is created by Stan, but I was Deborah. I was logged in as Deborah. So why did this happen? That's because we used the shared documents and we had the server have an identity to upload the documents on behalf of any user. So what if we don't want that? What if we want to work with our documents privately before we send it off to the boss man? How can we do that? So let's go back to the configuration. So I'm going to find here the document store. Online document stores. Here we go. So the part we want to change is the last part here, the shared documents part. Office 365 comes with private websites for all the users. So they have their own little team site, so to speak. And in that, they have almost all the same functionality as the shared site. So they can add documents, they can have calendars, they can have all the things they want. So documents there in the private one is important for this scenario, because we want to push the documents to my private storage so I can work on it before I share it to my boss. And we can simply do this in NAV by removing this and saying, well, I'm not going to tell you where to put it. I'm going to tell you what folder to put it in. And I'm not going to tell you what identity to put or to use when you do it. So we're actually saying to NAV, ask the user for credentials when you want to upload this. So let's see if we can do that. So we'll do the same scenario again. And now we get a dialogue saying, hey, you're not logged in as Deborah, as you said before, but it's actually trying to tell me that I need to enter Deborah here. So now I'm using my own credentials to log into Office 365. And I will now see the same document once again. But this time, it should be in my private documents. So I can work on it and share it later. Hopefully. There we go. So the look is the same, the data is the same, but let's look at the repository. Notice here it says Deborah Kronos. So actually here we see a clear change. We see that it's in the Documenta repository. While that is the same as we used before, it is now located under Deborah's own account. And the reason why it's called Documenta is because she created it as Documenta. But we see that it's inside the nav documents folder, which is the one we specified. And we see clearly here that Deborah is actually the one who created it. So now we can send documents to Office 365 and get the stamp of the user actually sending it. So, how does this work? Shoot, I need my notes here. Okay. All of you most likely know the Excel buffer. And that's the simplest one to show you guys. You can use it in GL budgets. You guys have seen it. I can just find it here. When you export the budgets, let's take this one. Yep. So there is an export to Excel function here that actually uses the Excel buffer to generate a Excel document that doesn't look like the one flat one we did when we do send to Excel, but has more structure in it. So it looks more like the what you see here. So I'm not going to show you how that works, but let's go into the code here and find table 370, I think. Yep. And let's look at some code. So if we navigate to the Open Excel function, that's where Excel actually gets opened, and that's where document is being created. We see that there's a new trigger being called here called Open Using Document Service. So let's go and have a look at that one. We have this here. This new trigger uses a management code unit called Document Service Management. That's this one. So this is a new code unit we introduced that wraps all of the functionality needed to call into Office 365 to save the documents and to open the files. So the first thing it does is to check that it's configured, so we know if we want to use it. And then it does some file name magic to get it to look nice. And then it calls two important functions. It calls the save file function, which is the one that uploads the document to Office 365. And it calls the open document. So this is the function you need to use to get the pop-up where you call or you see the web client, the Excel web client. That's it. That's all you need to do. There's really nothing more to it. Those two simple lines will enable you to customize your own document generation code and get it to work with Office 365. So what if we want to do something that is not this, but is both worlds? We want the document to be uploaded by Deborah, but we don't want it to be in our personal folders because it's a public document. It could be an invoice, for example. So what do we do here? Well, this scenario requires a bit of code from you guys because we worked hard on the ad hoc scenario for Excel, and that is a temporary scenario. So this is more of a persisting scenario, archiving scenario. So let's look at how we could do that. So let's see what we can do. Let's go to the posted sales invoices. Here's a client, here we go. Posted sales invoices. Here we go. And on this page, we have a print button in under the actions here. Oh, sorry. One more. On the card, there's a print button under the actions here. So let's add a button, say, send to Office 365. So we can actually generate that report, save it, and put it up there in the cloud for everyone to see. So let's go to this page, and the page ID is 132. There we go. So the first thing we'll do is just add an action. Let's go to the page actions and see, want it to be right here. Let's call it send to Office 365, and let's call it send. The text is 365. Okay, let's look at the code here. So in order to reuse this and for me to code less here, I've wrapped all of this in a code unit, so I'm just going to call that one. So the code unit, run, and then send it the ID and the record we're on right now. So save that. We're done here. So let's look at that code unit because that's the interesting part. There we go. So what happens in this code unit? Well, the first thing we do is we generate the report. We save it as a PDF file, and now we have the report on the server. So when we upload documents to Office 365, we are not limited by the type of documents Office supports. So we can upload anything we like. We can upload images or PDFs or anything we like. We are still restricted, though, by the SharePoint file type requirements. So you can't upload .exe files. And there might be some restrictions on the type or the size of the file, or maybe the contents of the file. But you can modify that in your Office 365 subscription. So we got the report on the server. The next thing we need to do is kind of emulate what the document service management does. So we kind of copy that code. And in this case, we'll use the properties we already set, so the location, the SharePoint location. And so we start off by creating this instance of a document service. And we say it's a SharePoint Online instance. And then we set some properties. We set the description, the location. We're not going to set the username and password because we want Deborah to enter those. We're going to set a folder. So in this case, we're not going to use the nav documents folder. We're going to do our own folder. We're going to create one called invoices. And then we're going to ask the user for the credentials. We have a nice helper for this. And then the magic happens. So this is where we merge the two scenarios we had before. First off, we set the documents repository to be the shared one. So the one we had on the main team side. And the second thing we do is to set the username to anything but empty. So that's the magic, anything but empty. If the username is empty, it will think you want to store this on the personal side. And we don't want this. So that's the magic. Then we create a file name for it, a nice one we can recognize and be sure it's not there already. We call the save function on the service, and then just for good measures, let's put a link in the page so we can find it again from within an AVE. So we don't have to go search for it on SharePoint. That's it. That's how it can be done. So let's see if that works. Just gonna close and reopen this one. Which wrong one? Here we go. Gonna open one of the items. Let's take the Selangorian. Not that expensive. Let's go to actions. Right, we have a new action here. So let's see what happens when we press that button. Nothing. Come on, there you go. Stuff happens in the background. So we didn't call the open function of this management code unit, and we didn't do anything with the file name we got back from the document service. So essentially we're not doing anything other than adding the links in the page. So when this is done, we should not see anything. Hopefully. Yeah, so when it's done, we will go back to the links and see that we added that link, and then we'll try and see if we can open it. Come on. There we go. So let's look at the links. Et voila, we have an invoice. It has a link to a SharePoint site. So let's go look at it. Because this is a PDF file and there's no web viewer for it, it will just download that document for you. We can look at it if we wanted to on our local viewer, and it's a nice one. But the interesting part is to look up here on the team website, some website, and see if we now have the invoice, first of all, but also the invoices folder, which were different from the configuration one. And we have that right here. And there it is, created by Deborah. Notice that we didn't get asked about the login this time. So why didn't we do that? Well, that's because the nav web client, the nav server, caches the credentials you enter, so you don't have to enter them all the time. So for every session you have, you will be asked one time for your Office 365 credentials, and then caching will happen for the rest of the time. Okay. That's it for me in this one. Showed you the send to Excel, the customization. There are still things to be done. Style sheet exports, the one you know from the Windows client. We haven't done that yet for this scenario. And all the send to Word, still not a part of this. There are some other things, like the repo viewer and the whole trusted site thing you saw with Mike. Yeah, so document management you can do yourself, as you've seen. A little bit of customization, you can get very far. We have focused on the ad hoc scenario, but as you saw, it's pretty easy to create your own scenarios. That's nav in Office 365. We've shown you the documents that can go from nav into Office 365. We've shown you that you can use nav as an app in Office 365. And we've shown you that the seamless integration can be done through single sign-on, so you get a nice experience. Yep. In the next section, you'll learn about OData. There's much, much more you can do with Office 365 and NAV 2013.2. One of the things is the OData thing, where you can actually connect OData feeds from NAV to SharePoint using something called BCS, Business Connectivity Services. And here you can have writable OData in a list place in SharePoint. It's a nice thing. You can also use these OData feeds for your own development purposes. You can create apps. And just for your amusement, we have a short demo of an app you guys could create easily using OData feeds and something called Office Apps, which is similar to the SharePoint apps, but these apps are hosted inside Office. So I'm just going to show you a short one here. We're using OData in this demo to help the user write a letter, to give the user a nice way of having NAV data right where they need them in Word. So in this case, I'm just going to add an app here. I'm going to go to my organization. Hey, voila, I have a nav quick access tab. This is the one I created. It's really easy to do. You guys can do it in a heartbeat. And here you see there's some customers. I'm going to write a letter here. I'm just say Zangorian. Oh, there are 2,000 something, 20,000 perhaps. I'm just going to go click what they are. And this is magic. Nope. Yeah, Zangorian, where are you? There you are. So I'm going to write a letter to this guy. I'm going to put this here, and then I'm going to say, dear, oh, that's Mark. Oh, here's your orders. He just placed some orders with me. I'm just going to send him a message here saying, well, these are your orders. And regarding this one, let's go here and say this one here. With the items, I'm going to put the items in here so he has the data if he needs it. Yeah, we're going to ship it tomorrow. And as a surprise, we're going to include, and spelling goes wrong here. Let's see what we're going to include. Let's go to items and find one we can include. Which one was it? Anyhow, just find one. Another bike. Let's see. No, too many zeros perhaps. There it is. We are going to include this one. Ouch. There. With a value of, let's see if we can find the value somewhere. Item price, anybody see it? Anywho, it's there somewhere. So this is easy. You can do this in Word on-premise. You can also do it in your Word in the cloud. So these apps are HTML apps and they can be used anywhere. But the important part here is that they use OData as a way to bring the data from AWE into the application you're using. And it's all due to Office 365. That's it, I think. Yep. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, we open thanks. The floor.
Yeah, so we had a question right there. Go ahead. So the question was about how does licensing work between SharePoint and NAV. So it's actually no different to how you would normally operate with NAV. So you still need to have a set of licensed users. And however they are licensed, you're still going to map them to what you have in SharePoint, right? And there's actually no real connection between the two. So yeah, you still have to have those users licensed in NAV.
But a simple user or a full user?
Doesn't make a difference, I think. Price, of course, will always make a difference, yes. But from NAV's perspective, no. You should still be able to use both, as far as I know.
Will it lock, how long will it lock the user? So if you have the SharePoint open and you have the connection and you can see the data, will it be locked until the user closed the SharePoint session?
So the question was, how long does the session last, so to speak? How long is the user active in NAV? And he is active for as long as the content is displayed in SharePoint. Because that is the web client. It's not something magic, it is the web client. So you're hosting the web client inside SharePoint. Yeah. So
I think we might have a related comment here.
Yeah. It's the exact same timeout as you've set up on your web client.
Yeah, exactly.
The timeout you set up as a configuration.
Yeah, so the comment here is that the timeout is what you set up in the NAV web client. So the IIS there and the web client. Yep. Yeah.
One more, the Excel export.
Yes.
Is that maximum the records, number of records?
So the question is, is there a maximum on the number of records for the Excel? And yes, there is. I can't remember it right now. Give me your card and I'll send you the real number, but it's quite high. It's quite high. There's a natural limit in Excel. I think 64-bit is like gazillions of rows, but we have implemented a restriction in the number of rows we generate on the server, a simple performance reason. Otherwise, the server will be blocked for a long period of time. But I will have to give you that answer offline sometime. Thank you. Other
Any
questions?
More questions? Yeah.
Yes, in the back. Yes. So the question is, mentioning something about the doing stuff on the server when generating documents.
The reason why I'm asking is, does this then require that you have an office? If you have an on-premises.
Good question. Does the server-side generation of documents require you have office on the server? And the answer here is no. And that's one of the big things we've made sure of. Because we use OpenXML to generate Excel documents, we no longer need the Excel client. So you only need it when you open, if you open on-premise. But if you have Office 365, you can even open it in the web client.
So when you are working on the web client, and then you are asking for an Excel, then it will create the Excel and display it to you. Okay.
Yes.
So you still need, of course, local Excel.
So the question was, do you need local Excel? And the answer there is no, you don't need local Excel.
But if you don't have Office 365, then you do.
Oh, yes, of course. If you don't have Office 365, then of course, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So the web client will, instead of showing you the Office 365 web client for Excel, it will download the file for you and you can open it in your local Excel. Absolutely. Good point.
Yep.
Other questions? Fair enough.
Great. Looks like they understood everything.
Hey, cool.
All right. Well, if there's no more questions, then thank you very much for attending today. I'm sure you've heard this one before. So there's the usual evaluation. We appreciate your feedback. So go ahead and use this system here. I assume you've seen the slide before, so I won't go through it one more time. But yes, your feedback is very much appreciated. And of course, you know, if you have any questions, we might be lingering outside in the hall for a few minutes as well after this session. So feel free to hook up with us if you have any more things which need to be answered. And with that, I guess we're done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And enjoy the rest of your day.